said.
Don't believe what I just saw!
I'm a man! I'm 40!
This is John Sheezer. I'm here.
Eric Marino.
Eric.
No, I gotta tell you about the Clippers. I'm an
addict. Sportsaholics, I gotta.
Let's just hope this shit doesn't go viral.
Okay.
When I was a little bitty baby, my mama would rock me in the cradle in them old cotton field back home. It was down in Louisiana, just about a mile from Texarkana, in them old.
All right, and welcome back to Sportsaholics. Okay, that's again, no train whistle. Eric is not with me again, and I feel alone without him, without that loud Boston voice just banging around in your ears. You guys at home, driving right now, at work, not doing your job because you're listening to this show, you miss the train whistle too. Like I said last week, it goes back to me, because I had one as a kid, growing up in Missouri, down the Ozarks, white trash capital of the world. If you consider yourself white trash and you haven't been to Branson, let me ask you this. What are you doing? Because you really can't stamp white trash or redneck, self-proclaimed anyway, unless you've been to Branson, Missouri. Guys, this is episode number 76, the Sean Bradley episode, and Sean Bradley, for you youngsters out there, is a 7'6". For whatever reason, when I was growing up, a youngster, throughout the 90s and the early aughts, there were a lot of giants. You had Yao Ming at the tail end. You had George Murashan. You might know him from the movie Giant with Billy Crystal. Also played for the 76ers. Also had a hilarious Snickers commercial about 10 or 12 years ago where he smells like cabbage. Then you had Manute Bol in the 80s and 90s. Rest in peace. Died about 5 years ago of kidney failure. But would shoot threes and amazing, you know, all over. And then Sean Bradley. So that was those are the big, yet 7'6" Sean Bradley, 7'7" Murashan, 7'4" or 7'5" Yao Ming, and then Manute Bol in at 7'6". But Sean Bradley, McDonald's All-American. He's from Utah, Mormon. Drafted, then waited, but he was the second overall pick by the 76ers in 93. McDonald's All-American, played his college ball at BYU, played 13 seasons for the better half of those spent with the Mavericks, the Nets for a little bit, and then, of course, the 76ers. Guys, this week's episode is fantastic. We have Ben Anschiff on, which you guys are like, who's that? And Ben is what we call a celebrity now, especially in the sports world, internet celebrity. You may have seen him last week on ESPN, top 10, top everything. He is the offensive lineman that is a pitcher. Pitches for St. Thomas out of Florida and was in the NAIA finals. But Ben comes on just talking about, you know, pitching at his size and his love for baseball, recovering from Tommy John surgery, you know, moving universities, transferring a few times. But a great story. We'll have him on as well as John Huck, who is an absolutely one of my favorite comedians in the country right now. You can go on to ComedyCentral.com and type in John, J-O-N, Huck, and This Is Not Happening story is up there with Ari Shaffir. It's a great show on Comedy Central if you haven't seen it. It's just a bunch of comedians telling, like, the, you know, the craziest stories of their lives. John has got my personal favorite one, Ari's personal favorite one. So if you go to ComedyCentral.com, you can type that in, John Huck, This Is Not Happening. But we have him on talking about Chicago, Cubs, Blackhawks, you know, being growing up outside of the technical city limits, the suburbs, which I know how he feels. I was a a suburb guy in Kansas City, and you know, sometimes people don't want to hear you say you're from Kansas City when it doesn't really say that, when it says Shawnee, Kansas on your driver's license, or Olathe. They're like, you ain't from Kansas City. I'm like, all right, let's just settle down. We both root for the Royals, so that's all. It look, you could be from Omaha and you root for the Royals, you're from Kansas City as far as I'm concerned. But we've got, you know, a great week in sports so far for me. I mean, Cleveland lost, and I don't know why I hate LeBron so much. And I was thinking about it a lot this week because he is, I mean, I think it's just because he's been the chosen one. So you're like, yeah, okay. You know, he can never let you down because he's supposed to do that. And from the beginning, since he's 18 years old, everyone's like, he's better than Jordan. I think maybe that's the root of the whole thing is, is he better than Jordan? Is he really? I mean, he's about ready to lose this finals. I don't remember how many finals Jordan lost. Oh, wait, yeah, I do. He lost zero. And look, I know that he lost in the conference finals. The Magic, you know, he tried to come back. Didn't happen. Jordan 45, whatever. I'm not counting that. That was like he hadn't even played in a year and a half. I think that was the 95 season. But LeBron is going to single-handedly. Now, here's the kicker. If he does come back and Cleveland does win, then LeBron is then he's right there with Jordan. Right there. He's got four rings, not quite six. Still hasn't lost, but single-handedly beat the Warriors, who I haven't seen a team play basketball like this maybe in my life. I mean, jump shots that are like layups. I've never watched a game where someone will pull up for a 22-footer and it's as easy as a layup. You're like, there's no question in my mind that's not going in. Oh, yep, went right in. And it's not just Curry. It's Thompson. Harrison Barnes, actually. I've been a big fan of his. Midwest bias, you know, from Ames, Iowa. But, you know, went to college at Carolina and loved watching him play there. You know, so you know the guy's good. If a KU guy is going to get behind, you know, a North Carolina guy. So, pretty much LeBron's in deep. I really think it's going to be Golden State in six. They'll win in six. Maybe, hopefully not in five. I just want to, for me as a sports fan, I just like watching as many games as possible. You know, that's my whole goal. But, well, okay, let's get started with Ben. We got a great episode this week, talking college baseball, talking Tommy John. John's talking just being a cool big dude. And then when we come back from that, we'll go right in with my good friend and very, very funny comedian, John Huck. So sit tight. When we get back from break, we'll be on with Ben Anchiff from St. Thomas University.
On the Seabrooms, and this kid, he's a kid, all right?
Okay.
This is a kid that's got an opportunity to become a fan favorite instantly, all right?
Okay. Taking the internet by storm this week in sports, 300-pound pitcher. Ben Anchiff certainly doesn't have the typical physique that we're used to seeing in baseball. Coming in at 6'2", 300 pounds, the guy has a little more girth than your average pitcher. Talk about an imposing figure on the mound. Side note.
His name is Ben Anchiff. Now, you've probably not heard of Ben Anchiff, but Ben Anchiff is a baseball player. Specifically, he's a pitcher. Well, what's so special?
But, all right, so we are back on Sportsaholics with now legendary pitcher Ben Anchiff of St. Thomas University in Miami Gardens, Florida. Ben, thanks for coming on Sportsaholics, man. How are you doing these days?
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. Doing good. Just taking everything in stride, I guess you could say, and just running with the viral hit of myself. It's pretty surreal at this point.
Now, it all stems from that NAIA. See, I went to an NAIA school. Now, for you listeners, if you don't know what NAIA is, I went to a college called Graceland University. Ben is at St. Thomas University. It depends, but you might say it's not an NCAA, correct, Ben?
Correct.
And so you get a lot of athletes, like amazing athletes, and whether it's academic issues or eligibility, sometimes it's financial, but you just get this real interesting mix of athletes that end up at these universities. A lot of times it's small town guys that weren't able to go to summer camps and be on traveling summer teams and weren't in the limelight and from a recruiting aspect as much as some of your other guys that maybe go to Division One or Two schools. And that's how they end up at NAIA schools. How did you go from Pennsylvania all the way down to Florida to play baseball?
My college career has been a merry-go-round. Definitely a journey, and this is my fourth school in 4 years. I'm really happy to be at St. Thomas. I feel like I fit in great in the NAIA, and I'm fitting great at St. Thomas. The way I got there is I went to the University of Georgia out of high school. I didn't pitch much there. Only had a couple innings pitched. I decided I'd go to junior college and try that, see if that was a better fit for me. I had a lot of success there, and got some scholarship offers from some Division One schools, and ended up going to a school in Arkansas. It was like a mid-major Division One, and ended up having Tommy John surgery there, and we parted ways, and St. Thomas was good enough, and they offered me a second chance, and glad I could help us to the national championship.
Now, is that, and not knowing, pardon me, but I'm not too familiar with the St. Thomas baseball program, is it a baseball university, is what I'm getting at?
Yes, for sure. It's definitely a baseball university. It's pretty renowned for baseball. I think in program history, we've been to the World Series 7 times, but
wow.
In the baseball world, a lot of the coaches that coach at St. Thomas end up moving up to bigger jobs, like Paul Maneri. He was a coach at St. Thomas, and that field's named after his father, I believe, Paul W. Maneri. He's a coach at LSU right now, which, I mean, they're going to a Super Regional this weekend. They're really successful.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And we have Manny Mantrana, and then our coach right now, Drew Perez. It seems like we have a great line of coaches, and we have some players that have played in major leagues and a lot of guys that go on in the professional baseball as well.
So that's got to be nice. To go from starting out at Georgia and, you know, being 17, 18 years old and already going through, you know, so much adversity before you even get to St. Thomas, like, what is it like now finally, and to be, you know, to be like kind of in the spotlight on ESPN and, you know, doing that, but oddly enough, just because of how, of your sheer huge size, like what has that been like?
Definitely making ESPN was a dream come true. I realized that a lot of the publicity is definitely because of how big I am. I look like an offensive guard out there chucking the ball. But I think also I throw hard and I've been successful in my career. I think that's also why a lot of the viral sensation is it's not just that I'm that big. I'm actually helping the team out and trying to win and everything like that. That's how I think just relates in that way.
I mean, it's impressive. And I mean, you've been interviewed by people, you know, ESPN. I'm sure the last, you know, 10 days of your life or week of your life has been crazy. I mean, hell, you're even on Sportsaholics. That's when you know you've made it, right?
Hey, exactly. I'm really happy you guys are having me on, but it's honestly just been surreal, and I'm soaking it all in. It's been great. I just look at all the positive comments from it and just roll with them, and it's pretty cool. A lot of old teammates messaging me, coaches, stuff like that. It's just pretty awesome.
Well, I'm sure. You know, as you've moved through from colleges through injury and adversity, you know, I'm sure it makes so many people proud to see you in a championship game, having come full circle all the way back to where you once were, you know, before your injuries. I mean, that's got to make your former teammates, coaches, and first and foremost, your family and friends, you know, very proud.
Definitely, it makes them really proud. They know how hard I had to work to get back to where I am, and just really appreciative of all the positive comments I've got, whether it was text messages, Twitter, just random fans out there that don't even know me, that they just see my story and they're pulling for me, and I just really appreciate everything.
Now, are you prepared to be confronted with a reality television show?
Yeah, I could take that on, I think.
I think
I have to get used to the cameras a little bit, but it'd be pretty funny.
No, I think so. Okay, I mean, because I know you have a sense of humor, because your Twitter name is Ace Benchura, which is it's ACEBENCHURA. It's just hilarious. Like, tell me about that. Where'd you come up with Ace Benchura?
Make a long story as short as I can. When I was in high school, I was a sophomore, and I always caught my whole life, so I didn't really pitch much. And my sophomore year of high school, I started pitching a little. A kid that's in the grade ahead of me, Tyler Hurd, my best friend ever since I'm little, he's with the Seattle Mariners organization. He was a great pitcher from ever since he picked up a baseball. He's been really outstanding. And the joke on the team was that I was the ace, even though he was much better than me. And one of the kids on the team nicknamed me Ace Ventura, and I just ran with it. And it was a really funny story, just because it was all of us poking fun at our real ace, Tyler Herb, and then saying I was the ace Ventura, just to devil him a little bit.
And who knew? You know, all these years later, now it's your Twitter name.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty neat.
Now, as far as baseball goes, I mean, I'm assuming this is something that you're going to want to pursue professionally. Is that in your future? Is that something you've got your mind set on?
Yeah, it's definitely my goal. Still need this summer to probably get my own back to 100% fully, so I can go longer in the games and get it back to where it was fully before the surgery. Definitely have another year at St. Thomas. Hoping to do big things there. If the pros come my way, that'll be awesome. I'd be really appreciative if someone would take a chance on me. I think I can prove them right, that I can really pitch, and we'll just see what happens. Like I said, I'm just soaking all this publicity in, just still working hard and trying to achieve my goals.
Oh, that's great. Okay, let's talk about, if you don't mind, the surgery, the Tommy Johns, because, you know, in the past 10 years, I mean, what used to end a career, now some would argue, you know, enables a career, you know, or helps a career along. I mean, obviously, you know, repairing the arm, but some would say that post-surgery, you know, more flexibility, more durability. You now hear of pitchers going back in having a second surgery. But in this day and age where you've got countless pitchers that have set out for 12, 14 months and come back after rehab and been even stronger and even better, could you talk about that whole process, like going in and you know, having gone through it, what the rehab was like, and do you feel like it has made you or will potentially make you a stronger pitcher?
I definitely think there's a misconception on Tommy John makes you better. The doctors that did my surgery, Dr. Grant Bennett and Dr. James Howe in Conway, Arkansas, they said to me before I had the surgery, they're like, however hard you work is how good you're going to come back. But the surgery is universal now, that they've almost perfected the surgery. They pretty much put it on you and say, hey, if you're going to come back as strong as you were, you have to work hard and do all the right things and take care of your arm and just really get after it. And it starts fast. Like, you're out of surgery as soon as you get the – I had staples in my arm, so as soon as I got the staples out, I could start doing hand mobility and all that. And then you like the physical therapy, which that's super intense, where you're just getting the mobility, the extension and flexion in your arm again, and starting to use it for small things, even brushing your teeth and combing your hair, stuff like that was so simple before the surgery. And then you start throwing, and the throwing portion of it, which anyone who's had Tommy John would know the roller coaster ride of it. It's so many ups and downs. Some days you feel like, oh man, I'm never going to throw like I did before. And then 2 weeks later, you're like, oh, I'm almost back. And it's like, definitely an emotional roller coaster, but I had a great support system from coaches, family members, friends. Everyone just pulled together to help me through that time, and it was really good. And to think about making me a better pitcher, I think it made me more aware of how to take care of my arm, and in turn, is going to make me a better pitcher just because it changed my work habits to take care of my arm and my body more.
See, that's interesting, you know, because I can sit here having, I'm never going to have the surgery, you know, and, you know, you can say, oh, you just have the surgery and then bam, a year later, you're an amazing pitcher. But quickly to forget are those long hours of rehab. And that makes complete sense. Of course, you're going to be a stronger pitcher potentially because you're actually focusing on these muscles in your shoulder, in your elbow, in your arm, and strengthening those that you didn't even know existed before you had the surgery.
Exactly. You don't even think about strengthening your shoulder. When you get Tommy John, a lot of it's like, how do you get your elbow stronger? Well, the shoulder is like one of the worst parts for the physical therapy and the stretching and just to get your arm back in shape and get ready to throw that 90-some-mile-an-hour fastball again. It's a lot of hard work. And like you said, you don't really think about all the little things because you're like usually either blessed genetically or had a good arm or something like that. And you're throwing and next thing you know, you have it and you're like, oh, what do I do now? So it's pretty interesting for sure.
Well, Ben, continued success with the rehab, and you know we'll be sure and check in with you maybe you know in a couple months and see how everything's going because you're a great dude, and we appreciate you coming on Sportsaholics again. Listeners, follow Ben at Ace Benchura. That's ACEBENCHURA. Mr. Anchef, anything else you want to add before we let you go?
No, just thanks for having me on Sportsaholic. I really appreciate it. I love to keep things light and got a little serious there with the Tommy John, but keeping things light and having fun all the time. And just appreciate you guys having me on.
Well, I poured the Tommy John stuff on you. I just when I had you on the phone, I was because I've always been curious about that, and I appreciate the straight up answer because I know that's hard to go through, and I mean that's a lot of hours in rehab. And you know what?
Yeah.
They paid off, man. I mean,
it's all worth it in the end, that's for sure.
Yeah, and so continued success, Ben. And, you know, we'll be talking to you soon, all right?
Appreciate it. Sounds good. Have a great one. Way up in Michigan, with a laughing river flow. 20 years in the minor leagues, ain't no place I didn't go. Well, I got a few hits, but I never made the show. I could hang on for a few years, doing what I'd done before.
Fans.
All right, so we're here with John Huck, comedian, actor, originally from Chicago. That's why we're having you on.
I'm from. I like to clarify this.
Well,
I'm from the Chicago area. Yeah. I'm from Illinois. I'm from the southwest suburbs of Chicago.
Yes, okay.
I never want to pass myself off as someone who actually lived in the city.
Would that give you a problem? Like, would someone from the city be like, you're not from...
Well, here's the thing I always had. Like, and Halpin used to do this because he thought it was hilarious. Because every time someone would go, this is John, he's from Chicago. I go, actually, I'm not from Chicago. I'm from the southwest suburbs. And I explain exactly where I'm from. Sean's like, why don't you just say Chicago? I go, man, I can't. So one time, someone's like, this is John, he's from Chicago. And I go, yeah. And the guy next to the person who was introducing turns around and goes, oh, really? I lived in Chicago. I just moved here. Where are you from? So then I have to say, I'm not really from Chicago. I'm from the suburbs. And to his face was like, you fuck. Like,
you
like I'd
pass
sold,
yourself
you know,
off as a
exactly. Like I'd sold secrets to another country. It was, I understand that. I respect that. You're from that city. Your life was probably I can't say much different, but probably different than mine.
I mean, you root for the same teams. You probably ride the same trains. They just get off at different stops.
Well, they ride the trains more. The only time I rode the trains was to go down to Cubs games.
Oh, okay,
my mom
okay.
would get us on the train, and we would go down that way.
Okay, I guess if you are riding the trains, that's considered the city. Yeah. So once you're out of the train line...
There was no public transportation where I lived.
Okay, so once you're out of the train line, then you're technically out of the city.
Yeah. I was more of a hick. I was more of a hick. Like I rooted for all the same teams. But I also drank Budweiser in the woods.
See, I did a lot growing up in Kansas City, similar from Shawnee, which is the Sticks.
But Kansas City sounds like it's
It is the Sticks. That's
you know
the
what I mean?
Thing.
Like, it's got the word city in it, but it's almost like, oh, really? But
yeah.
Are we talking?
One time ever has a guy been like, you're from Kansas City, and he was an older gentleman. He's probably in his 40s or 50s. He was kind of rough.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, I'm from Kansas City. And he's like, where are you from in Kansas City? and I say Shawnee, which is like the suburbs now. I grew up in South Kansas City as well. Like when I was younger, then there was too much gun violence. So my parents were like, you know what?
Let's move. Let's not have our kid get shot by a random bullet.
Yeah, exactly. And he goes, psh, that's not Kansas City. I was like, well, where are you from? He's like, I'm from Raytown, which if to qualify to be within the city limits of Kansas City means you have to have, like, let's say 20 meth labs per square mile.
As many meth labs as there are churches?
Then you probably, yeah, then he qualifies. Raytown definitely qualifies for that. But I mean, I was like, come on, guy. Why are you giving me crap? This was out of the Midwest. Like, we were on the West Coast. Let's just bond as
Kansas City. There should have been like, hey, I'm from Raytown. And you would have gone, oh, shit. You're from, okay, that's crazy. And you would have had that conversation.
You know what I started doing recently was, actually in the last couple of years, is when I meet someone from Kansas City, I stopped asking them what high school they went to. Because I'm like, it doesn't matter. The stereotypes are probably all different. I mean, they're not.
Is that why you would, yeah.
Well, because they're like, oh, where'd you go? Blue Valley Northwest? It's, and immediately it's like, okay, so your dad's some banker who cheats on your mom, and you have a cabin in Colorado.
Yeah.
It's like, so I just stop.
That's good.
What's your life like?
Yeah.
Like,
who are you now?
How did you escape Kansas
City? Because it's really, you can't, and it goes just for everybody, really. I mean, you can't change the past. So worrying about somebody else's past, I mean, obviously, if you find out someone was a child molester or something, yeah, okay, I'm not going to want to hang out with that person. I'm going to turn you into the authorities, and we're definitely not cool. But, like, you know, we all did a bunch of shit. Like, dude, I used to put toothpaste in one side of my hair to thin it up, and then I had, like, long bangs on the other, okay? So you could know that about me and go, I remember you from middle school and high school. You were a dick, and I didn't like your face. And or you could be like, oh, what are you up to now? Like you said, how's your life? What are you doing now?
It is weird, you know, with comedy when you go around, and occasionally it'll be like that guy that you had science class with that now lives in Dallas is going to come out and see your show.
Dude.
And it's cool to see these people grow up. Like if you're right now high school kids listening, like everyone's just weird and awkward. And in like 12 years when you see each other and everyone grows up. So
the guy you think you hate now and you think is a piece of dog shit and all these people that you're like not getting along with for whatever small petty ass reasons. Do you have a lot of high school listeners? I feel like I'm giving a motivational high school speech.
Well, maybe this also I think would work for like college age kids as
You know what? It does, because in college, I was just thinking about this. I was looking at a girl's Facebook post page that I knew in college, and I was like, oh, she looks like she's doing all right. That's great. And I was like, remember in college how like I was like, fuck this chick, and then she didn't like me, and then I was like, what did we care for? What was the deal? And then I'm like, oh, I know why we cared, because we still weren't out of high school yet. We were just like living on our own with high school brains.
Yeah.
We're like, we can drink because our parents don't tell us when to go to bed. Like,
that was my approach to the whole thing. And so growing up in the southwestern suburbs in Illinois of Chicago, you're in the prime of Bulls, the height of the Bulls, really the lulls of Cubs.
I'm much older than you, so I like the first sport that I ever loved was baseball, and I had AM kindergarten, and I could run home and catch the Cubs games in the afternoon. And it was when you posted on my thing when I took a picture in front of my radio and you said I better be listening to Harry Carey from the 70s.
Yeah.
Harry Carey from the 70s was on the Cardinals and then the White Sox. He didn't start announcing for the Cubs until he was originally from St. Louis.
Was it 84 or something?
No, it was like the early 80s.
Okay.
Because he was there a couple years before 84. Because in 84, they had a shot. They looked good. And Steve Garvey, instead of retiring a Dodger like a human being, he gets traded to the Padres and single-handedly like ruins the chances of the Cubs. Along with, maybe that was 85. It was the year before the ball went through Buckner's legs in Boston. Same thing happened to Leon Durham in Chicago.
Oh, yes. Yeah, so 85.
Yeah. So those years, they were great, you know. And then there was obviously the huge decline, and that lasted a small eternity.
And then,
but yeah, but Bulls, I mean, obviously I was also at the age where I just wanted to go out and party. So when people were like, we got to watch the Bulls game because Michael Jordan, I was like, fuck Michael Jordan. And people were like, dude, what? Like, I would just be that guy who was like, because I never really was that into basketball. But obviously looking back, it was an amazing time to be a fan.
Well, it's not like the Bulls were anything at all before that.
They were nothing. No, I mean, it wasn't like I was growing up watching them on TV or anything.
Yeah, and then you just get used to the guy around. I mean, it's kind of like with LeBron. I've never seen LeBron, but it's like the other day I just stopped for a second. I'm like, whoa, LeBron's played like 13 years. He's probably only got three or four good ones left.
That's crazy, right?
You know, it's like
I feel like he's brand new.
Oh, I still have. I can perfectly envision the cover of him with his, you know, his St. Anthony's whatever high school, you know, cover Sports Illustrated thing.
Yeah.
You know, with the Irish or whatever. But, you know, like you grew up with Jordan. You read Jordan's in the headlines every day. You're like, you're going to wake up tomorrow and Jordan's going to be in the headlines. You know, it's like it's another day. No big deal. And then eventually
he disappears
and he plays baseball.
Yeah, well, dude, I had a whole theory about that, too. No one wanted to hear my theory. I was like, my theory was that Michael Jordan was he's a gambler.
Yes.
He's a big gambler.
Well-known.
Well-known gambler. And when his father was killed, I was convinced that was some kind of gambling thing.
Yeah.
And that the league found out and came to him and said, dude, we can suspend you for a season and make it ugly, or you can retire and come back later. So to stay in the spotlight, and because he's a Chicago in there, you know, fuck, go play for the White Sox in minor league ball and then come back.
Dad's
with no
dead.
Incident.
Obviously, you're going through some things. And I know he had always kind of hinged everything on, well, me and my dad had this thing where I was going to try to play baseball. I was going to try to, you know, so he brought his dad back into it to kind of like.
And this was before, keep in mind, this is all before like the internet.
Oh yeah,
you know what I mean. So there was no investigative journalism that really even got that far.
I came
far.
Home from like seventh grade at my buddy Eli's house, who actually lives out here. He works for Fox now. Like
that's crazy.
I remember that's getting awesome. Home and they're like breaking news, and it oh man, what's the Dan Patrick?
Yeah,
I remember being like, you know, Jordan's retiring. We're like, what? What do you mean, Jordan? And then, you know, cut to press conference, and then just being.
My
like,
dad saw me play my last game. I'm gonna go out on top.
Yeah,
etc. I'm gonna go play baseball.
It's so like when you're so Jordan's just there. You're like, okay, yeah. I'll throw the Bulls game on. Cubs are always
always something I watched, but you know it got hard for a while. It was just really frustrating.
Then at that point, the tradition's carrying you from season to season.
That's about it. And the fact that I grew up like it's my dad was never even a big baseball fan. My dad was a White Sox fan. He grew up on the South Side of Chicago, but. Like the only time I ever saw him put a White Sox hat on was when they played the Orioles for the pennant in like 83.
Like,
so, you know, baseball wasn't like I just fell in love with it as a kid. It was like my mom signed me up for it. I started playing. I started watching. I was just into it. I just got into it. It was, you know, so the Cubs have always kind of been there. But, I, you know, in college, I zoned out a little bit.
Yeah.
And Sammy Sosa, after a while, pissed me off. You know, at first I loved him like everybody else. I'm not going to say I didn't. You know, I'm not going to lie and say I saw that all coming. But then when he started getting – the thing was no one cared about steroids. Like we all knew. We all thought everyone was on steroids, but there was never this big deal. It was just
yeah, because everyone knew. Everyone was like, yeah, that's whatever. That's just baseball. Where the playing field is at right now.
Exactly. You know? And then when they were looking for an excuse to – well, they weren't looking for an excuse. I think the government was looking for a thing to distract us from the war and like what Bush was going to do and what his plans were. So they started making a big deal about it. And when they started making a big deal about it, people went down hard and people started looking at players differently. And people with the corked bat and the bleached skin and the steroids, people looked at Sammy Sosa a lot different.
Yeah, it's weird how, like, as the images of Sports Illustrated, for some whatever reason, you know, I think it's just because that's the sports magazine, but it's that issue.
Back then, that's all you had. That was your info, yeah.
It was from, I think, June of 2002. It's a baseball with a big-ass syringe, and it's Jose Canseco's entire story.
Yeah.
And that was the they just lit the fuse right there, and then
Canseco kind of had the forethought. I mean, as much as a lot of people hate him, but he was like, look, people are going down. If I'm going to go down, you guys think you're fucking better than me? No.
You're going to blackball Canseco?
You're going to tell me I can't
play
anymore?
Ozzy and Jose, they can't play anymore?
Dude, so funny when they showed that. It's the anniversary of that ball hitting him in the head and bouncing over the wall.
Oh, when he was with the Rangers? That's great.
God, is that so amazing.
Was he pitching in that same game too or something crazy?
I don't think so.
There's some footage of him pitching, I know.
Oh, my God.
Jose Canseco was a... It was just this weird, like, star, like, circus freak show. You know, that really baseball didn't have anything like, I mean, you could kind of, wasn't quite as loud as Dennis Rodman, you know, with basketball, right. But always, there was always some sort
but
of.
But it was blatant. It was kind of like, yeah, they're steroids, you know? So that's why when he's like, yeah, I gave Mark McGwire steroids, like he's talking to it like Mark McGwire said, hey, man, are you going to eat all those peanuts? He was like, no, take some. It was like, he's like, yeah, man, the guy asked me about it. So I gave him some. Yeah. And then like, Mark McGwire was like, I don't know what you're talking about. It's like, Canseco didn't have a filter. He was like, he saw it all going down. So he's like, fuck it. I'll spill my guts.
Yeah. He's like, for $58, if there's the right price with it. That's what sucked with him. I think financially, maybe he wouldn't have said so much or if he wouldn't have been so financially strapped. I mean, the guy's still playing in like Mexico randomly. And like,
dude, that guy still played. Dude.
Didn't he lose a finger playing poker recently? Like a year ago?
My God, I hadn't heard that.
Yeah, like a finger fell off. Somebody bought Jose Canseco's finger on eBay.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
This is a few years back, my friend goes. We used to go to Barney's Beanery out in Pasadena. I think it was in Pasadena. Maybe it was in Burbank. But he knew two guys that were on the softball team there, and Canseco would come in and eat there. So as a joke, they were like, hey, we play softball every Sunday at this time. We'd love it if you'd come out and be on the team. So not only does he come out, he like dominates and then goes to Barney's and runs up a huge tab and doesn't pay for it because he thinks that's his payment for playing on the softball team. So then he's like yelling at a waitress who's trying to card these people he's with. He's like, they're with me. He's like, she's like, I don't care who they're with. If they're not 21, they can't have alcohol. It's a fucking, you're in Burbank on the corner. You can't even smoke in the street in Burbank right now.
And for those of you who've never been, Burbank is the suburbs of LA.
Yes.
It's
yes.
Green grass, it's white fences.
This restaurant bar is outside a mall where like families are hanging out.
There's an Olive Garden within two blocks.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So he gets mad, and my buddy's like, hey, man, leave her alone. And my buddy's bald. He's like, shut up, you bald fucker. And my buddy goes, what is your problem? It's like, she's like, she's lying. She's saying these guys can't have. And my buddy goes, your whole career is a lie. And he goes, what the fuck did you say? And he gets up, and he kind of like chases him around a table a little bit. And like my buddy ends up leaving, and that's like, but the fact that he showed up for every softball game after that and just kept playing and then coming and eating and drinking. And they were like,
he's like, I got nothing to do on Sundays the rest of my life.
But I mean, that's just hilarious that they're like, hey, we think it'd be funny if, you know, you came out and played a game. And he's like, oh, funny? I'll show you funny.
He's like, I'll come out and play.
I'll play the whole season.
Is that worth about a 12-pack for you guys?
Right. Dude, just give me six beers. Pick me up for the game.
So with the Cubs, that's the main reason I wanted to have you on.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Well, it's just to talk about growing up, obviously this season being a mate, like, well, potentially incredible.
This is the most excited I've been for baseball since I was 5 years old.
With the down years, well, what kept you going back? Was it just like, all right, maybe in 5 years? I know as a Royals fan, I remember in 2000 being like, 2005 is going to be our year. It's the 20th anniversary. And if you look back, 2005 was the worst year in the history of the franchise.
Yeah, I mean,
103 losses.
And after all the poor decisions of the management and the people in charge in Chicago, like, I don't know what keeps me going back is the fact that I've
was
always...
Was it ownership change? Was it just too much management in and out? Bad hires?
There was such a combination of everything. Yeah. Dude. There was such a combination of just the team being mismanaged. And then, like, you know, then they went out and they got these huge contracts and they paid Alfonso Soriano all this money. And you're like, dude, if you look at the teams that are dominating, like the Cardinals, they got rid of Pujols.
Yeah.
They don't have players that they're paying the most in baseball.
They're smart.
These guys grew up. They came through the farm league together, and they're playing together as a team.
And as much as it hurts to say, like, look at St. Louis. You know,
oh no,
you know, Wainwright goes down. Somebody else steps up. Somebody goes down. You know, it's someone. There's always some guy.
They're an all around.
Oscar Tavares dies. They're awesome prospect. They got another guy to fill in for him that's going to be as good potentially.
Yeah.
It's more of a mindset and just like, you know, when you come to work, you're going to play at this level, and that's anything under that is not acceptable. And
that mindset is important, dude, because even now, if you look back at last season, the Cubs, like, I was mad when they didn't hire Ryan Sandberg as a coach, but Theo knew what he was doing. Theo knew that he's going to get some schlub who he could fire and nobody in the city would care, and he's going to wait for a guy like a Madden to open up. When that happened, he was like, goodbye. And I would have wanted Sandberg gone for Madden as well. But the city would have been like, dude, you just hired Ryan Sandberg. He's the greatest second baseman we've ever known. You cannot fire him. So
he couldn't have done it.
So what he did was smart by not giving him the job in the first place. Like, I'm sorry, you're just not ready. Boom. He goes to Philadelphia, where he was drafted, where he came up, and it's okay. Now we have Joe Maddon in here, and nobody gives a. Does anyone remember Renteria, whatever, that guy who was in there? He was a batting coach for some team. He was a ridiculous hire in the first place. So now we have Maddon. So it's like you see what he's doing, and then you have a team. Last year, if they were down 4 or 5 runs within the first 5, 6 innings of a game, they gave up. They were 0-35 in predicaments like that. They never came back. They had no come-from-behind victories at all.
Like, so, wow. So even watching a game, you know that, you know, come June, July last season, if they're down, you're like, well, they're not going to win.
No, that's it. And the team had that. You're talking about the mindset. The team had that mindset, too. Castro even said it. He goes, last season, in a game like this, we would have given up 4 runs down in the 6th inning. They've come back.
Referring to the Sunday Royals Cubs game when they came back?
I'm referring to they lead the league now in come-from-behind victories.
Oh, I didn't know that.
From being 0-35 last
season.
Good for
you, eh? That's awesome.
At this stage last year, they were like 18-40. Okay? Now they're over 500, and they're beating teams like the Royals, who went to the fucking World Series last year, and who are an American League team.
After watching that wild card game now, when I watch Royals games, it's like if they're down, like that Yankees game last week, they're down 8 runs in the first. I'm like, you know, they can chip away. And I find myself at least watching 6 or 7 more.
If you're
going
to go down 8 runs, go down in the first, because you have the whole game to come back.
Yeah, and as we discussed earlier, then you get Alex Gordon in the right field. You get guys making their major league debuts. You can find ways to make a game like that entertaining, but they're very few and far between.
Yeah.
It's so you got Maddon in there, you got the glasses, you've got you're working on the new attitude. Let's talk about the lineup and how and this window that everyone's talking about. That it's predicted. Okay, so this window is arguably 15 to 2021-22. That's kind of depending on who they can re-sign and get extensions from.
To win a World Series?
Yeah, how many World Series do you win in that 6 to 7 year window?
I say they win 2. They're back to back.
Oh, this is good.
And it's 2017-2018.
And will they still have Lester under contract? That'll be probably
Lester, once he realizes that if he stays, here's what this team knows, probably more so than any other fucking team, especially a guy like Lester. What did Lester do in Boston? Oh, he won a World Series with them, right? Lester can eat for free in Boston whenever he wants. He is worshipped there. He is going to have, if he wins a World Series in Chicago with Theo, he's not only going to have a statue next to Harry Carey and Joe Maddon, he's going to have free reign of that city for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
For the rest of his life. He probably won't even have to pay his rent. He could just be like, I'm John Lester. Here, I'll sign a baseball. Give me stuff. And it's going to be amazing for him. Like, if you could live in Chicago and people just gave you things and you had an awesome house and could go out and do whatever you want, like, and money was never an option.
Okay, 6:30 alarm goes off. John Lester stretches, takes a quick shower, puts on some shoes, steps out the front door. First thing, Lester! What's up, man? Johnny! Just all day down, like, get to Starbucks.
Dude.
How much is that? For Lester? Nothing.
Nah, on the house. On the house. Dude. Thanks.
Let me pay for something. No. Your money's no good here. He can't even like pay it forward to anyone. They're like, you can't buy me anything.
Dude, and ideally, like some of these guys, like I would love to see a guy like Chris Bryant play for the Cubs for his entire career, retire, and then coach for the Cubs.
Like a 40-year guy.
You know what I mean? Like just like a guy like I respect.
He can be the next next Ryan Sandberg, you know, like
Sandberg, but I respect Jeter a lot.
Yeah.
Just for being like I'm not a New York Yankees fan in any sense of the word, but there's a guy who, when baseball was taking a shit, was classy the whole time and stayed with his team.
He was clean.
And was clean.
If there was any dirt on that guy, he got buried underneath.
He was a smart, you know, you could never take your own, you can't bring your phone into his house.
Oh, really?
There's like a basket outside, and these reporters were talking about one day, like, oh, yeah, you go to Derek Jeter, they call it Jeter's, St. Jetersburg, because it's down in Florida. He's like, yeah, you gotta leave your phone in a basket outside. And the guy goes, oh, I don't leave my phone for anybody. And the other guy goes, then you wouldn't be going in the house.
That's
And he's
crazy.
Like, really? He's like, no, there's no pictures of the inside of that place. He doesn't allow phones in there.
Smart.
I'm like,
you know?
And then, you know, he gives a gift basket to every girl he bangs. They all get like a ride in a limo and a fucking Derek Jeter gift basket.
Which I like that Owen Wilson movie where he plays the pitcher from the Senators that came out a couple of years ago. So he or for the Nationals. He plays for the Nationals in the movie.
I didn't see it.
And they stole that from Jeter. Like,
oh,
he bangs.
He gives him a, yeah.
And then, like, the girl the next morning wakes up. He's got a closet full of pink, like, Washington Nationals jerseys with his name on it. And he autographs a ball and throws it to her. He's like, oh, that's great.
Yeah, dude, that's hilarious.
So I found out an interesting Kansas City to Chicago fact about Lou Brock. The only reason he played for the Cubs was because of Buck O'Neill, the legendary Kansas City Monarchs player and coach, later went on and coached, became the first African-American coach in baseball history with the Chicago
Cubs.
So
he wanted to play four.
Well, I heard this great story secondhand from Art Stewart, longtime Royals scout, played scout with the Yankees up until 68. Then he got a job with the Royals, and he's still an assistant to Dayton Moore.
Has he been on this show?
Yeah, actually, we've had him on a couple times.
That's impressive.
He's amazing, just full, like, the greatest living baseball, you know, like, told me that
personality,
you know, like, Don Larson's a perfect game. He's like, the last pitch in the ninth inning was a foot outside, you know, called strike. He's like, that wasn't a strike.
Yeah,
but it's like, oh, okay, that's good to know.
The opposite of that umpire calling the guy out for that kid in Detroit's perfect game.
Oh man, the Sanchez or whatever, that was the worst, man. That, when, even to this day, when I watch that, even 3 years later, you're just like,
yeah, that's an anniversary.
Like, just, how can you not reverse that? Like, just put it in the books. It's clearly, like,
yeah.
But no, as the story goes, Lou Brock's like the top prospect in high school, and he's taking meetings at this hotel in Chicago, and apparently, the Art Stewart has a meeting with the Yankees at the time, and at 5 o'clock. So he gets there at 4 o'clock, and two other scouts from the Indians are coming out, and they're like, no reason to go up there. He's gone. No, he's not even here. So they're like, well, we'll go check it out. So they go up there, and they're cleaning the room, and they're like, is it the Brock family? And they're like, oh no, they left at about 10 a.m. And it's come to find out, like, Buck O'Neill had swooped in, got in there first, was like, no one's going to offer you more than this amount of money. Took him and the family out of the hotel down to, like, the south side of Chicago.
Wow.
Like, to, you know, to, like, the let's say the blues and jazz district, and then got a room there, signed him up, and then, like, the rest is history. So he's like, as he goes, yeah, Buck O'Neill went in there and swooped Lou and his family out, and, well, the rest,
which would have been tampering at today's
nowadays.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, absolutely.
You took him where? They need to stay here. We all need to talk to him. I took him to a hotel. You'll never find
trust
him.
Trust me, it worked out.
A blues bar,
it worked out great.
That's hilarious.
So after all these years of just, I mean, I don't even want to get, you know, the Bartman stuff and the ups and downs, and now the down, and as you're coming back up, and the light for not only for Cubs fans, I mean, you know, as a casual,
the light for baseball, I think,
it's getting a little bit brighter.
Yeah.
It feels like it.
It is. We're putting the steroid thing behind us. You're seeing more. You're seeing the kind of players like Barry Bonds used to be before the roids. You're seeing these. Like, Chris Bryant is not an oaf. Like, he doesn't have biceps the size of bowling balls. But, dude, he's an athlete. He's like, he's the quintessential baseball athlete.
Like, he could be a free safety in the NFL. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, but fuck the NFL, man. If you could play baseball, you could fucking play for 25 years.
I know.
And just fucking have, you know, a great
career.
They're
trying to argue that, like, guaranteed contracts, which will never happen in the NFL. One, there's too many players. You can't put 52 guaranteed contracts
in the NFL. You could break your leg tomorrow doing nothing. Yeah. It's like, there's no, you can't.
I think there were two first round picks that are already out this season, just tearing their ACLs just in training.
I'll be honest. I'm putting that, I got in a fight with DirecTV when I moved in here. We're recording this from my new apartment. But they were like, well, you get the NFL package for, it's a mover special. And I go, yeah, I don't want the NFL package. Give me the MLB package. And they're like, well, we can't do that. And I go, you can't or you won't? And they're like, well, we can't. That's not the mover special. I go, I know what the mover special is. The NFL package costs more. Just take the NFL package back. Give me the MLB package. You save money. And they're like, we can't do that. So I fight with this lady on the phone, hang up with her, send an email. Hey, this is what I want you to do. Do it. They're like, sorry, sir, we understand, but if you call this number, I call the number to give me the runaround again. Finally, I send an email. I go, that's it. I don't care what you do with the NFL package. Give me the baseball package for free. Now, do it. I'm a customer. I get a call the next day. Mr. Huck, we've turned off the NFL ticket. We're going to give you the baseball package. I'm like, now, how fucking hard was that? Was that hard? And I'm usually not like,
no, you're.
I was really like, this. It's like the Doug Stanhope thing where he goes to the Subway and he's like, yeah, I want the breakfast. He's like, I'm sorry, the eggs are away. And he's like, they're not away. They're in a cooler right behind you. Just pull them the fuck out and put them in the microwave and make me a sandwich.
Just
it's like,
throw it in there.
People just think, People who work for big corporations, if you do that, good. You need to make money. I understand that. No one can blame you. But don't think that their rules are the end-all, be-all rules of society. I went to a Starbucks. I was like, man, I want a mango smoothie. The guy's like, they only come in this size. I go, no, they don't. You'll just only pour it in that size. And he goes, but on the computer. I'm like, dude, think for yourself for 5 seconds, dude. Like,
just upgrade it. Do whatever you
do. Whatever you need to do. But there's ways around it, and there's no reason to follow every. I mean, fucking rules like that are because people are too stupid to know how to live their own lives.
Yeah, and you're just
I got real preachy, didn't I?
Nah, it's all good. It's frustrating. I mean, you just want to watch some Cubs games.
Oh, it's coming up, dude. Cubs Miami.
One of the perks of living on the West Coast is you get baseball that can start as early as 10 a.m.
Dude.
Like when they do day games, 9 a.m. Day games in New York, if they start at 12, you wake up and, I mean, sometimes and you miss the thing already.
I think someone said this. I heard an announcer say this. If I was president of the MLB, I would have at least one day game a day. Do you know what I mean? And sometimes they don't. Like, when I can't watch a baseball game until, like, 4 in the afternoon, I'm like, what? Why isn't anyone playing in the afternoon? Just play at 11, which is stupid because it just means I'm unemployed and I'm not doing anything with my life. But even when I'm working, like, now I got, because of this season, now I have it on my phone, my computer. Like, everywhere I go, I'm going to watch it. I haven't missed a game yet this season.
I've got the same thing. I've got the MLB mobile, and I just got the
at-bat.
The at-bat, but I got Google Chrome on my computer or on my TV now at home. I just got it yesterday. So what it does is now I can sync up my phone to my big screen.
Oh, there you go.
So I can just with.
So you don't even need the package.
Nope. I can just shoot the app right to the TV now.
That's perfect.
So
how's that picture?
It's awesome. Surprisingly, like, that's HD. Great. Yeah. Like, it looks good, and it doesn't. Hasn't like frozen up or anything
doesn't
yet?
Buffer,
you know?
Doesn't
no buffer.
There's no pinwheel in it.
But so, do you have a favorite of the youngsters? I know we talked about Castro off the air a little bit.
Castro is the guy though that I would be okay if they made a big trade for another pitcher and they got rid of him. Now I'm not saying he should go.
Well,
I'm not
he's
saying
the name
he's
that
bad.
I've actually that you hear when trade.
They were talking about it with the Mets. They were talking about it with a couple people. But yeah, so and don't get me wrong, he's great. But we could fill that shortstop position. But as far as like guys right now playing, I mean, I honestly for the first time like the whole team, like I did when it was Bob Dernier, Keith Moreland, Gary Matthews, Ryan Sandberg, Ron Save. Larry Boa, fucking Leon, did I say Leon Durham already? Nope. Jody Davis, Rick Sutcliffe, when it was all those guys, like I liked the whole team then. But now Andre Dawson, when he came in, I like Chris Bryant a lot. I think that kid has so much potential.
Incredible. Like,
but then I like Addison Russell, cracks the ball. I love that kid too. He's fantastic. I also love Anthony Rizzo because I'm a big, first base is my favorite position. And I traditionally like the first baseman of the Cubs. I mean, I've liked Derek Lee. I like Leon Durham. I like Mark Grace. I liked, whoever played that position.
Yeah.
Actually, Bill Buckner played that position for a little while before he played for the Red Sox.
Really? I did not know that.
He was wearing a Cubs batting glove when the ball went through his legs in Boston.
Like it was like his good luck
glove. It was under his mitt. It was just the glove he wore under his mitt.
That seems like kind of sacrilegious almost. I mean,
yeah, man, I don't know. But if that's true, that's what I read. And if that's true, I mean, that's kind of funny, right?
I think so.
Well, look, it's not. It couldn't have been funny because he got Ray Finkeled, man. He, like Bill Buckner got, like Leon Durham, when ball went between his legs and everyone was like, "Bip, there's the Cubs." Bill Buckner did it and everyone's like, "We need to kill him." Like that, he had death threats. People were fucking egging his house and, you know, he got Ray Finkeled.
Well, I mean, at that point, and that wasn't even the deciding game.
No, neither was the other one. Neither was the Leon Durham game, and neither was the Bartman game. These were all game sixes. What the people don't remember is that these teams had another chance, and they blew those chances
because
they played like shit.
And that's
Cubs got smoked in game 7 against
the power of plays like that, you know?
You only think about that.
You're like, it's done.
And it changed the momentum of everything.
Everyone's defeat. I mean, with the 85 series, Royals, same thing. After that play, the game 7 was, I think they won 12-1 or something. Like it was, they just crushed St. Louis.
Yeah,
you know, they were just because they had it all wrapped up, and all of a sudden they're like, "Nope, it's the Royals now." And then you're just like, "Don't even want to show up the next day." But so, did you go to any games this year?
I haven't gone yet to Chicago. I've went to Arizona for spring training, and I saw Chris Bryant hit a home run off Felix Hernandez. They played the Mariners, so he hit two.
That's promising.
He hit two home runs that game. One of them, the second one, was off Felix Hernandez. So it was pretty fantastic to be down there and see. And again, just Rizzo played well. They won the game. I hadn't seen them win a spring training game. I don't think ever. I've only seen probably 5 or 6 games spring training, but I've never seen
like. Have you gone out there a couple of years? To
yeah, my cousin lives out there, so we go out and stay with her.
Talk
and then
about
we go
that.
To
like I've managed. I've been in the fall. I've gone to some Arizona Fall League games, which are like the top. Each organization's kind of like top. You know, 5 of their top 10 prospects, and they all play on these little made up teams, and that's cool. And then spring training I've gone to in Florida when I was in high school, and then once in Arizona. But talk about that, like just the experience of, especially in Phoenix, of being able to, you can see 3 games in a day.
It's well, I've never done that. You can, but I never have done that. And I do, it's so much fun. It's so much fun. The problem I have is that sometimes I go down there and I try to combine it with stand up. And that's a mistake. I should just go for the baseball and then go back for stand-up another time. Because like now with this new Cubs place that they built, because Ho-Ho Cam is now being used by like the A's and somebody else, like these kind of forgotten spring training teams that nobody goes to see.
Yeah.
The Cubs wanted a new stadium a couple years back, and Arizona was like, no. Cubs were like, okay, we'll go to Florida. And they're like,
hold up.
You guys sell out every game.
Cubs fans travel. Cubs.
Well, also, people retire down there from Chicago.
Oh,
people,
yeah.
I mean, there's old people at those games. Like, there are Cubs fans that have generations of Cubs fans that live in Arizona. So, yeah, you know what I mean? They travel well. And so they gave them this new place, and it's supposed to be like a tiny version of Wrigley Field. And it's great. It's a great park. It's nicer than Ho-Ho Cam for sure. And they built a hotel right next door. So it's like next year, instead of staying with my cousin, I hope I have enough money to just get a hotel room, and then me and my girlfriend can just go and just
walk across the street, everywhere.
Get shit house. Because what I don't like is when I have to control how much I drink at a baseball game. I really want to just
time it and be like, I can't, this is my last beer. I got to be sober in 4 hours.
Exactly. I don't like doing that. I purposely don't book shows after like Blackhawks games or Cubs games that I know I'm going to be excited about, because I can't trust myself to be like, it's just not fair. It just it ruins the fun if I have to be like, well, you have to stop down. But focus on not drinking.
But for a baseball fan, it's a good opportunity, because it's, you know, you get, it's spring training rosters, so you get to see some guys that won't be on the team, but you do get to see like Chris Bryant come up, a lot of like your prospects are going to be in the game playing.
It was a fun game to watch, and I've seen Dodgers Brewers play, and I've only, other than that, I've only seen Cubs. I've never really seen other teams play. Because I just never cared. But I did see, last time I was down there, was Cubs Royals.
Nice.
So I saw that, and I was like, oh, that's weird. You never see these two teams play each other. And then they just played this year.
Yeah, and got Royals fans, if you're listening, end of September, they're going to be back at Wrigley to make up the rain game. I think it's September 28th, 9th, and 30th. They're going to be in Chicago. It goes Cubs, White Sox. So, hey, there's a nice little – were you surprised at how many Royals fans were at that game Friday?
I wasn't actually. I think with the – obviously, I think it would have been different had you had a typical Royals season last season. There would not have been Royals fans at Wrigley.
No. I mean, at the Angels Anaheim, I've gone every year to one of the games, and there were more fans at the one game I went to last month than I would say the previous 4 or 5 years combined.
Yeah.
I mean, there was easily 5,000 Royals fans.
Yeah, because they're – and it's not that they weren't here before. It's just that they weren't very proud, and they weren't,
and they had
nothing to be excited about. And I understand that, because it's embarrassing to go out and cheer for your team when you know they're going to get rocked. and you go yell? Like, I went to a Cubs Angels game once, and luckily the Cubs competed, and the game went 15 innings. And this guy kept yelling at me, he's like, "What are you even doing here? Go back to Chicago." I'm like, "Why? I live in LA, dude. I'm not. It's the weather's nice. What do you want from me, dude?" But I was like, now you're mad at Cubs fans because they're competing. But before it was like, oh, there they are. Look at them.
They're like, aren't they cute? And
exactly. Look at them trying to put on full-grown men
uniforms.
Where's
George Winch? You know, a lot of that, you know. Dude, okay, I want to get on Angel fan for a second, because everyone's like, oh, Dodgers fans are so bad and all this. And like, so yeah, you'll go to Angels Stadium and you'll get your sushi and there's beautiful women everywhere and all that stuff.
So easy to get to.
But they're punks. Like, the fans are like... like they talk shit just like the Dodgers fans do, but the Dodgers fans, they just haven't almost killed anyone in their parking lot yet.
Right.
But I mean, a buddy of mine, Royals fan, playoff last year, like almost got jumped in a bathroom with his dick in his hands, taking a piss like in the middle of the, like by like 10 guys. You know, and see, just like, I'm like, so Angels fans, you're not all like.
No, you're not. You're also, it's also down the OC where they have flat bill hats and drive big trucks.
Yeah,
and
the Orange County, which is like.
It's a weird sort of blend of like.
Monster energy drinks and
like
motocross.
Being a hick and motocross. Yeah. Yes, that's a good Monster energy drinks and motocross.
Yeah, it's a good, and yeah, it's a good summary of the.
Yeah, there's a reason that, yeah, it's the OC. It's fine, but I don't mind going to Angels games because, like I said, it's just an easier walk. It's an easier to walk into there than it is to Dodger Stadium.
Have you ever taken the train down there? Yeah, it's right there.
You get off, you just, and it's like flat ground all the way across. Dodger Stadium is like climbing Everest.
It's You're like, right, yeah.
Because I never park inside, so I go to the shortstop and get drunk.
That's a great recommendation.
And then I walk up that hill into that park, and then I like smoke a joint, and then I walk down the other side of the hill, like over by where homeless people are squatting under the bushes. Like
if you enter from the Sunset Elysian Park entrance, as you go up the Everest-esque hill, you come down, and then there's this weird like park, but it's all dirt.
Yeah.
And like none of the trees ever have
living
leaves
in there.
On it.
And if I'm not done with my joint, I hide it in the tree. And I like like it's for homeless people. If they find it, they win. If I find it, I win.
But it's the perfect place to stop and crush the last two beers or whatever before you walk
or
in.
Or take a piss or
they
whatever.
They are strict with the tailgating.
There is no tailgating inside the stadium, inside the parking lot.
Even if you want to drink beer in your car, you have to like maybe like recline your seat just so they don't even see
you. Can't.
You.
Yeah, if they catch you doing it, you're fucked. And they don't let you play catch out in the parking lot. They don't let you do anything. So it was like, yeah, I never parked. I parked in there once. I was like, no, I'm not doing that again. Because the ticket, I was getting free tickets or $9 tickets even. And then like the parking cost, I'm like, the parking shouldn't cost more than my ticket.
That never makes sense.
It's cheaper for me to take an Uber to shortstop, have 15 $2 Pabst, walk into the game, and then walk up sweating.
Well,
it's such
cool
a
about shortstop too is you're already in the mood because you walk in and there's 50 people wearing Dodgers stuff.
Yeah,
you know?
No, everyone's there. They're pumped. Yeah, the bartenders are pumped. Yeah, I agree.
That is the bar. If you want to go to a game, you have to stop there first. And you can walk from, I mean, it might be a mile. It's like a 20-minute walk before you're at your seat.
Yeah,
you know?
But once you going up the hill to the stadium is great, fine. Then you get to the stadium. If you are sitting top deck, which I don't do anymore, but that's like another 20 minutes upstairs.
That's you can
it's
actually
fucking crazy
it's,
tall.
It is a ravine. They just dug into the side of a mountain,
and you're climbing up the side of that mountain.
Stadium. And you don't realize how big it is, but that stadium holds every bit of 88,000 people. And now going back,
oh geez, I thought I only held 62,000.
Dude, it's enormous. Like when you go back to like Kauffman's now or any other park. I mean, I guess Petco in San Diego is pretty big too, but
Petco doesn't feel big.
That's true because it's kind of like
Petco feels really intimate.
It's
feels
like right
like,
on top. Safeco, I went there last year. That felt kind of tight and
that's
small.
Seattle.
Yeah, it's like very. It felt like it's weird if it makes any sense, but it felt like Mr. Baseball, like a Japanese like stadium, kind of a thing.
Okay, I can see that though.
But Dodger Stadium, I think you could fit two Royal Stadiums in that thing. It's crazy. Yeah. Like the upper deck at Royal Stadium is like the middle deck.
And as much as the Hispanic community embraces the Dodgers now, they like when they built that stadium, they just wiped out whole neighborhoods.
They
made everybody move. Like it was a devastating thing at the time for this fucking old rich white guy from New York to be like, build it right here.
Yeah,
and it was like, hey man, we live here. What's up, bro? And
yeah, then, some pretty disturbing history as far as like just baseball. I mean, which has a pretty checkered past.
It's got a very checkered past, dude. But to me, that's one of the things about it that makes it should make it the most loved sport. It's like it's very human. It's made many, many mistakes. It's flawed. You know what I mean? Even in the age of instant replay, they still make calls wrong. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I don't even want to get into that. That's been a frustrating thing when you're watching and you're like, wait, what are they watching?
Because has to be enough evidence. I'm like, the evidence is right fucking there. He's safe, you idiots.
So is it when the ball disappears or was it when you see it in the back of the?
You know, I was more worried when they introduced the instant replay. I was more worried that managers wouldn't argue anymore. I was like, dude, if managers don't come out to argue, come on, man, that sucks. Like, that helps fire. There's a strategy to that. Like, that helps fire up a team.
Oh, you know what I mean? Yeah, for sure.
And then I saw, like, the first time it happened, I saw they got the call wrong and the guy still came out and yelled. I was like, we're fine.
Oh, good.
We're
the best good. Part of
these old men are still going to be these old cranky fucks.
Well, before we end up, I just wanted in the episode or the conversation, what about three Stanley Cups in 5 years? Is that a thing?
Man, I hope so, dude.
That's like almost dynasty-esque right
there. That's what they're building, baby. It is a dynasty. I am First of all, I think I speak for the NHL as a whole when I say, thank God it's not the Ducks and the Lightning in the finals.
Oh,
because
right.
Tampa Bay and Anaheim, two fucking places that don't even get snow or ice, to have them playing each other in this, it seemed so awkward and so wrong. While Milwaukee sits out and goes, we don't even have a hockey team. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
But I wanted Chicago, New York, of course. I wanted Rangers, Blackhawks, but that's fine. I'll take Rangers. I'll take Blackhawks, Tampa, and I really hope. Did you read the article about what they're doing with the tickets in Tampa?
No.
You can't. You have to have a Florida license to buy a ticket, and you can't wear any Blackhawks gear.
That's wrong.
It's not the players or even the management of the team. It's the owners. So this is their policy, because they know deep down that Tampa has about literally tens of fans of the team. And
yeah,
that
you see them all. They're on the glass.
If you see, yeah, right. Yeah,
those
yeah.
are the 12
They're
fans.
Rabid, crazy people who change teams when they move there from a hockey-having state. And then they know that if they sell tickets, that one, Blackhawks fans travel like Cubs fans, they're coming down. Tampa's not that far.
That round trip from Chicago to Tampa's got to be probably $200.
Yeah, dude. Or drive down there. You know what I mean? Yeah. They're nutty enough to just go, fuck it, spring break.
It's only 14 hours.
Exactly. And then they know that it would be 70% Hawks fans in Hawks gear screaming and being loud during the national anthem and all that other crazy shit that Hawks fans do. And it terrified the owners, and they were like, we can't have this. So hopefully that's in the players' heads now. Like, nobody likes this.
That is weird. I mean, it almost just comes out like you're the parent. Like, don't pick on my, you know,
exactly.
Don't pick on the kids.
Dude, that's exactly how it comes across. Or like an older brother.
Especially
or sister,
in hockey, which like, is the last thing you want.
You got to be tough.
Yeah.
You got to be tough. You should be saying something like, bring it on, Chicago fans. Come down. Fuck you. We're going to kick ass.
The only time I saw anything close to that was during the Bonds home run Hank Aaron tour. When he came to L.A., he was like one away from tying. And, you know, could have potentially, but everyone showed up with these guys had these juiced Bonds, but it's a juiced on the back 25. And me and my brother were sitting on the right field foul pole, right on the edge, like looking down at the first
trying
level.
Trying to get that ball if it came at you.
We were like right above where these three guys and these mock Giants juiced Barry Bonds. And eventually, like, the usher comes down, goes over to him, taps him, says that they have to turn their shirts inside out. Like, they're offensive, and everyone in the section just starts booing. Like, it was crazy.
Wow.
Because we were like, what are you talking about? There's nothing offensive. It's like, the guy's on steroids. You're going to you're gonna hassle these three guys because they're entertaining these 5,000 people here that can read that shirt.
Yeah.
It's awesome. But that's kind of – it's never heard an owner just with – be such a pussy, I guess.
That's like, exactly, I mean, exactly. Like you said, dude, it's like a wimpy dad, like, hey, no, my kid, don't pick on him. And the kid's going, hey, I'm okay. I'm a kid. I can handle this.
Yeah, we just beat the Rangers. Let's just
do it. Exactly.
Just relax.
Show a little bit of faith in your team and don't worry about what the other fucking team is doing, except for when it matters, like what they're doing on the ice. And, you know, but I'm really looking forward to it. I'm also looking forward to the NBA playoffs, man. I don't really care about basketball, but I'm so glad that it's not the Spurs or the Mavericks or the fucking Lakers or the Heat or the Celtics.
Golden
you know
State
what I mean?
Is entertaining to watch. They're fun
to
watch.
That's
actually
what I'm rooting
for. I think
for.
They're going
to win. I'm rooting for Golden State for sure.
Golden State in 6 or 7.
I'm happy for the people of Cleveland, but I still can't get behind LeBron James.
Yeah, it's like, you know what? You might not get your ring, but you got LeBron back. You know, that should be good enough.
And he hadn't been to the finals. I mean, this is since, what, 2003?
7, I think.
Oh, okay, so a little closer.
It's like 7 or 8 years already, you know, while he's gone to Florida and won, you know.
Yeah. When he went 3 down there?
I think so, yeah, 3.
Asshole.
Dude, Dwayne Wade is, you know, like, I mean, because he got that one with Shaq early, his rookie year.
Yeah.
So, like,
he's got 4?
Retired with 4 rings. I mean, he can.
Did he retire?
He will, I mean, soon. Yeah. But that guy somehow still just keeps ticking. And he's not even a big guy. He's like our size.
Yeah.
Height-wise.
He keeps himself, keeps his nose clean, does his thing.
Dominates.
Yeah.
Wrapping up, where can the listener find them some John Huck?
You're
going to be in Phoenix doing shows?
I'm not going to be in Phoenix anytime soon. When does this come out?
I'll probably put this up on the 3rd here in a couple days.
I'm trying to think. You know, you can follow me on Twitter at @JonHuck. You can go to my website, johnhuck.me, and you can buy my CD there or on iTunes. I also have a podcast called Hollywood Anonymous with Brian Irwin that we do. It drops every Wednesday morning.
And that one, you guys just launched that
this is our 11th episode is coming out.
Very nice.
Yeah, yeah. So that's new, but it's a fun show about just kind of people's Hollywood experiences. And
I'll put links up onto the.
Oh, cool. For cool. All that Thank stuff. You.
So
yeah.
If you just go to the show. There'll be some.
Yeah,
links
we're on
up.
All things comedy. Like, isn't that where you guys are?
No, we're not. No, that's actually a good idea. We talk to, is it Al and...
Yeah, Al and Bill.
They're just like the figureheads. They don't like, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But you're fine doing it.
They're great.
Way,
yeah, yeah, yeah. They're great guys. Love
yeah. Al's but yeah, shit. So, yeah, and you can see, I got my Ari Shaffir story from What's Happening, or This Is Not Happening, is up on Comedy Central website still.
Which, in my opinion, I've watched them. Like, yours is, I mean, it really stands alone as, like, a true...
That's, Ari tells me every time he sees me that I told the best story he's ever heard on his show, and I go, well, then why can't I be on the TV show? And he goes, you're a white male. Mm-hmm. Like, I love comedy.
Comedy's great,
Comedy's
isn't it?
Comedy's awesome.
Yes, I think that's on ComedyCentral.com.
Yeah, Comedy CC Studios, ComedyCentral.com. Also, I'll be on a Showtime, South by Southwest Showtime special with a bunch of other comics coming up in probably end of this summer.
That's now was that just filmed last month?
Yeah, we shot it at South by. That's great, man. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. A lot of fun.
Nice. And then how was it just like a 10-minute, 15-minute?
Yeah, I think everyone did 10 to 15 or something like that. I think on my show was Joe DeRosa, W. Kumail Bell hosted, Todd Glass, Wyatt Cenac, Rachel Feinstein.
Dude, that's awesome. I'll definitely be looking forward
just
to that.
Just really hilarious. I felt very lucky to be a part of it because the talent was so good. You know?
Yeah. It got a lot better with you on the show.
Oh, hey, yeah.
Man. All right. Hey, man, thanks for stopping by.
Thanks for having me on. Tell Eric I said hi.
I will. I'll see him later today.
Cool.
All right, man. Be good. So much work, and yours too much work. John, I really do. You're going to get a World Series. I mean, if the Royals can make it to the World Series, you can at least win one. And that sounds ridiculous to a Cubs fan, but believe me, I mean, it makes more sense if you're a Royals fan, that the chances of us making a World Series were somehow greater than you guys actually winning one. Bartman, you know, I just want to see Bartman, because, you know, as soon as they win... You guys better put him on the front in the pilot seat of that victory parade. And if Chicago Cubs fans, if you don't, and if you're listening, like, what? That's ridiculous. He cost us a series. No, you had Game 7. You had a chance to win it. You didn't. You let that single play blow it. And here's the other thing. Moises Alou is an asshole. If he doesn't jump up and down, screaming and crying, pointing at the guy, he might as well just had a sign that said, hey, this guy cost us the World Series. Everyone, look at this guy. His name is Bartman. That in itself is what really screwed it up. If he just says, okay, whatever, next ball, it's not a big deal, and everyone doesn't hang their hat on that play immediately, and then thus creating an excuse as to why you're not going to make it to the World Series that year, and which is exactly what happened. So just so you know, whenever you guys win the Cubs fan, when you win the World Series, and whenever, sometime in the next 5 years, it's going to happen, 5 or 6 years, just Bartman better be, one, alive. None of you motherfuckers better have killed him. And two, he better be on the front of that victory parade. But guys, that wraps up another episode of Sportsaholics. And we appreciate the support. We appreciate the feedback. Picked up a lot of extra followers this week on Twitter, where you can find us at Sportsaholics. Go ahead and look for John Huck as well, at John Huck, JonHuck. And Ben Anchiff at Ace Ventura. Follow him as well. Guys, thanks for listening. Thanks for spreading the word to fellow sports fans. And we will be in your ears next week.